Welcome back to the deep dive, everybody. You guys know the drill, right? You send us the stuff you want to know more about.
And we come through it.
We do the heavy lifting.
Pull out the most important stuff.
And basically give you the VIP tour, so to speak.
Fast track your understanding.
Exactly.
To all sorts of complex topics.
And today we're diving headfirst into a topic that's honestly more relevant than ever.
And maybe kind of secretly running the show behind the scenes.
It's all about cryptography.
Everyday cryptography.
That's right. We're cracking open the third edition of Keith M. Martin's book, Everyday Cryptography. It's freshly updated, which is key in this ever-changing world.
Especially for a topic like this, keeping things current is essential.
Huge. And the beauty of this book, and something that really drew us to it, is that it's written for, like, anyone to understand.
You don't have to be a math whiz.
Exactly. Martin's goal is to make cryptography accessible, regardless of your background. So it fits perfectly with our mission here at the Deep Dive.
Demystifying complex stuff.
Making it clear, digestible, and dare I say, even enjoyable.
There you go.
Our listener for this deep dive, I think it's safe to say, is someone who values their time, wants to cut to the chase, but still wants to get a good, solid grasp on things.
They're looking for those insights, those surprising facts.
Those aha moments. Yeah. And they definitely don't want to drown in technical jargon. So, to put it simply,
the mission, should we choose to accept it?
Is to figure out why cryptography matters more than ever in our lives.
And to break down.
Deconstruct, if you will.
Some of the most important ideas and real-world uses that Martin covers.
Cool. You ready to jump in?
Let's encrypt this knowledge.
Nice. Okay. So right off the bat, Martin revisits a pretty bold claim from the first edition back in 2012.
Which was?
He said his book was relatively timeless. Like, it would stand the test of time because it focuses on these core principles.
The foundation.
The foundation.
Interesting. And does he still think that's true? I mean, it's been over a decade.
He doubles down, actually, in the preface to this third edition. Wow.
He even mentions that the most commonly used cryptographic tools, the nuts and bolts, have seen, you know, mostly incremental changes since way back then. So he's saying that those fundamental ideas from 2012 are still largely applicable today.
Yep. Which, on one hand, makes sense. If you think about it, the basic logic behind, like, scrambling information to keep it secret, that hasn't really changed.
Right. The concept of hiding a message.
Exactly. But then on the other hand, we all know how much technology has changed.
Oh, absolutely.
The way we interact with, you know, the internet.
More devices.
Every
Things, yeah. Different world.
And that's the first big reason Martin gives for this new edition, the evolution of technology.
Right, because cryptography isn't just this abstract theory. It's actively working behind the scenes in all the tech we use daily.
Constantly being put to use in new ways.
So what are some concrete examples? Like, what's changed so much since the previous editions that needed updating?
Well, for example, the second edition already covered things like the move to TLS 1.3, that's for secure internet connections, and the security protocols for 4G mobile networks, you know, LTE, and of course the rise of Bitcoin and stuff like Apple Pay.
Yeah. Okay, I remember that.
But this third edition, this brings us up to date with, like, WPA3 for Wi-Fi security.
Which, like, most of us are using every day without even thinking about it.
Right, exactly. And then there are the advancements in 5G mobile security. And he also gets into the newest cryptography that's behind contactless payments.
Which, I have to admit, I don't really understand how that even works.
Right. It seems like magic.
Just tap and go.
But the point is, these are all examples of how, even though those core cryptographic concepts, they're kind of staying the same, the way they're applied in the tech we use every day is constantly changing.
It's like, the foundation is still solid, but they keep adding new floors to the building.
And renovating those floors, too.
Good analogy.
And that actually leads us to Martin's second reason for the update, the evolving best practices in cryptography.
So it's not just about new gadgets. It's about our knowledge of how to use cryptography effectively evolving, too.
Exactly. It's like we're getting smarter about how we use these tools.
I'm curious, what kind of shifts in best practices is he talking about?
Well, one thing he highlights is the growing importance of something called authenticated encryption.
Okay, break that down for me. Authenticated encryption.
Imagine, like, sending a sealed letter, right? That's like encryption, keeping the contents confidential.
Got it.
But then you also add a special tamper-evident seal. That's the authentication part. If that seal is broken,
you know someone's been snooping.
Exactly. You know someone might have messed with the message.
Makes sense. So it adds an extra layer of security, ensuring that the message hasn't been altered in transit.
Yep. And then he also dives into provable security.
Provable security. That sounds intense.
It's kind of like, you know, imagine if you could have a bunch of independent security experts test out a lock to mathematically prove how hard it is to pick.
Instead of just trusting the lock company's word for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's about having this strong evidence-based argument for why a cryptographic method is secure against different types of attacks.
So it's like taking cryptography from trust me, it works,
yeah,
to here's the mathematical proof.
Right. It's about moving beyond blind faith and really digging into the how and the why. And I think that's something our listener, with their desire for thorough understanding, would really appreciate.
Absolutely.
Then he goes into more detail on asymmetric cryptography.
Now, remind me, what's the difference between that and like regular cryptography?
So asymmetric cryptography, it uses this cool thing called public and private keys.
Okay.
It's like having two keys that are mathematically linked.
Right. I've heard of that.
One key can lock something and the other key unlocks it, but they can't be used interchangeably.
Okay. Yeah, that rings a bell.
And the big driver behind this becoming more important is the demand for something called perfect forward secrecy.
Perfect forward secrecy. Sounds like something out of a spy movie.
It kind of is, but it basically means that even if someone, like an attacker, manages to get their hands on the encryption key you're currently using,
they still can't go back and read your past conversations.
Right. It protects past communications, even if a key is compromised in the future.
That's really clever. So how is that being put into practice?
Well, Martin points to initiatives like Let's Encrypt, which provides free digital certificates for websites. That's actually a huge step in making asymmetric cryptography more widespread online.
So looking at all these updates and additions, it seems like the whole field of cryptography is really maturing.
I think so. Learning from past mistakes, pushing for stronger and more thoroughly vetted solutions.
It's like a constant arms race, in a way. The good guys are always trying to stay one step ahead.
Exactly. And one of the most significant additions, in terms of practical advice, is a brand new chapter all about the implementation of cryptography.
Okay, now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Right. Because he stresses that a lot of times, security weaknesses happen not because the cryptography itself is bad, but because of how it's implemented.
So it's like you can have the strongest lock in the world, but if it's installed wrong, it's still useless.
Exactly. So understanding how to correctly implement these tools, avoid common pitfalls, that's becoming more and more crucial.
It's a reminder that often the weakest link in the chain is the human element.
Absolutely. Okay, so looking ahead now.
To the future.
The book also grapples with this big kind of looming threat, quantum computing.
Ah, yes, the quantum enigma.
Right. It's this buzzword we keep hearing about, and it has the potential to really shake things up.
But is it like a science fiction thing, or is it a real threat?
Well, Martin acknowledges that, you know, practical quantum computers that can actually break our current cryptography, they still seem like they're a few years off.
Okay, so not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. But the point is, we need to start taking this threat seriously now. It's not just some far-off hypothetical anymore.
So what's being done to prepare for this potential quantum apocalypse?
Well, the book has a lot more discussion now about the quantum threat.
Makes sense.
And it introduces some of the emerging post-quantum cryptographic standards.
Post-quantum. So like cryptography designed to withstand even the might of quantum computers.
Exactly. You see, current cryptography relies on these math problems that are super hard for our regular computers to solve.
Right.
But quantum computers, they might be able to crack them with ease. So post-quantum cryptography, it uses completely different types of math problems.
Interesting.
That are believed to be hard even for super powerful quantum computers.
So in a way, we're inventing new shields before the old ones have even been broken.
Right. It's a preemptive strike against a future vulnerability. And he even mentions a specific example, MLChem.
MLChem. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. And the really interesting thing is he talks about how these post-quantum standards, they'll probably be integrated into our tech without most of us even noticing.
Just seamless upgrades happening in the background.
Right. They're already working on ways to make the transition as smooth as possible.
That's reassuring. So is that everything new or is there more?
Oh, there's more. Martin also points to what he calls emerging themes, like shifts in society that cryptography needs to respond to.
Okay. Like what?
Well, a big one is the increasing demand for privacy.
Which, I mean, makes sense. After all those data breaches and surveillance scandals, people are definitely more aware of these issues.
Right. And the Snowden revelations back in 2013, that was a real turning point.
Yeah, that was huge.
So this third edition goes even further into privacy with a whole new chapter on cryptographic privacy-enhancing technologies.
Now, what kind of technologies are we talking about here?
He mentions Tor, the anonymity network, as one
Oh,
example.
yeah, I've heard of that. It's like the dark web browser, right?
Well, it's more than that. But the point is, this chapter explores a range of tools that are meant to give people more control over their data and their online activity.
So basically, cryptography being used to fight back against all the tracking and data collection.
Exactly. And then, on a slightly darker note,
Oh.
he also addresses the, and I'm quoting here, the ever-increasing scourge of ransomware.
Yeah, that's a scary one, isn't that? Where they like encrypt your files and hold them hostage?
Yep. And he's added a bunch of new material on that in this edition.
It's wild how something designed to protect information can be turned around and used to harm people.
It really is a double-edged sword.
So to accommodate all this new stuff, he must have had to do some rearranging, right?
He did. He reorganized some chapters, took out some things that weren't as relevant anymore.
Just keeping things streamlined and focused.
Exactly. So to bring it back to our listener, why should they care about all this?
Why is this deep dive worth their time?
Well, as Martin puts it, the importance of cryptography in our daily lives, it's never been greater. I mean, think about it.
It's everywhere.
Every time you're online, sending emails, using apps, even tapping your card to pay for something, you're relying on cryptography to keep your information safe.
It's the silent guardian.
And the thing is, we're constantly sharing and storing data in these environments that are, by nature, kind of insecure.
Like the internet, it's essentially a public space.
Right. And cryptography is the key to mitigating those risks.
Creating those secure channels.
Exactly. And he goes into detail about how cryptography is the foundation for so many of the security measures we just take for granted.
Like confidentiality, making sure only the right people can access your data.
Right. And data integrity. That's about making sure your data hasn't been messed with, like altered or corrupted.
And then there's entity authentication. That's how you know you're actually talking to who you think you are online.
Like when you're logging into your bank account, how do you know it's really your bank's website?
Right. Cryptography is working behind the scenes to verify those identities.
It's all connected.
But it's important to remember, as Martin points out, cryptography isn't a magic bullet. It's not going to solve all our security problems.
It's a tool,
Yeah, a helpful tool.
and it needs to be used correctly and in combination with other security measures.
But it's definitely the cornerstone of our digital security infrastructure.
For sure. And what we really appreciate about Martin's approach is that he's trying to make all this understandable.
For everyone.
Right. You don't need to be a math genius
Or a cryptography expert.
to grasp why this stuff is important. It's about empowering people to understand the technology that's quietly protecting their lives.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into everyday cryptography, it's clear that this isn't a static field,
It's constantly evolving.
adapting to new challenges and new threats.
We've seen how the technologies that rely on cryptography are changing, how the best practices are evolving, and how this looming threat of quantum computing is forcing us to rethink things.
And we've also seen how cryptography is being used to address broader societal concerns, like privacy and the fight against ransomware.
Right. It's really fascinating how something so technical can have such wide-reaching impacts.
One thing that really stood out to me was the whole idea of post-quantum cryptography. It's amazing how we're already preparing for a threat that might not even materialize for years.
And on a more everyday level, it's kind of mind-blowing how complex the cryptography behind something as simple as tapping your card to pay can be.
All those algorithms working silently in the background.
Right. It really makes you appreciate how much we rely on this technology without even realizing it. And that brings us to a final thought for you to ponder.
A question to leave you with.
Given how deeply embedded cryptography is in our lives,
And how rapidly technology is advancing.
what are the long-term implications for our privacy and security? It's a balancing act,
Yeah.
We want security, but we also want convenience.
And we have to be prepared for new threats that we haven't even thought of yet.
It's a lot to consider, and we encourage you to explore these topics further.
If you're interested in learning more about post-quantum cryptography or privacy-enhancing technologies, there's a whole world of information out there.
Keep diving deeper, folks.
And stay curious.
Until next time.
This has been The Deep Dive.
Signing off.